What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. Today on the show, I get to talk to a longtime NFL punter. Tress Way from the Washington Commanders is our guest today. He was on a long time ago, 6 years ago or so, and it's great to welcome him back. Great to talk to him in person. And this guy is full of stories, and he's full of joy, too. You're going to smile just listening to him share his story with us here today on Sports Spectrum. It's coming up in just a moment. First, want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportsspectrum.com right now. Get a one-year subscription. It's just $24, super affordable for 1 year. $24 for the entire year. It's faith-filled, family-friendly, clean content, perfect for the kiddos who love sports in your household. You want to introduce them to Jesus? I would highly recommend the Sports Spectrum magazine. When you subscribe and you check out, we want to give you a little bonus, 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine, $24 for a year, then 15% off, a little bonus percentage, if you will. Put in that code podcast15, podcast15, when you check out and get the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's faith-filled, like I said, great articles and stories. It's clean sports content. It's so hard to find that nowadays. Subscribe today over at sportsspectrum.com. And don't forget that code, podcast15, podcast15. Do it all over at sportsspectrum.com. It's great to welcome back to the show, Washington Commanders punter Tress Way. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I am good.
Good.
I'm good. This is a very special time, and looking forward to this. This is a sweet contraption. I kind of...
Yeah, you got like
I feel like I sound better. I'm really proud of how I sound. I've always wondered how I sound, you know, because your voice is always different than it sounds to you, but...
But you've done interviews, haven't you, like this, where you hear yourself?
I've done interviews, but I feel like this is different because, like, if I do an interview and then I watch it, like, on the media or whatever, this, as I speak, it's coming into my ears directly. And I'm not going to lie, I feel kind of high and mighty. So I appreciate you inviting me.
Feels nothing special. But the best for you, Tress.
Thank you, man. Thank
nothing
you.
But the best for you. This is great. We last had you on, it has to be 5 years or so, maybe even 6 years ago. It might have even been a different name for your football team because we were just talking about it. You came
Which one? There's a couple in there.
Right. You played for three different football teams' names, yet the same franchise
That's
for
right.
10 years now, right?
Same locker, three different team names. Yeah.
Same locker.
Same exact locker.
Washington Redskins, Washington Football Club team, and Washington Commanders.
That's it, yeah.
You're like an answer to a trivia question.
I think just knowing, I mean, I love trivia, but I'd love to go down more the riddle route. I think if I was a riddle, that'd be cool.
How does he play with the same team with three different names?
That's right.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I love it. I love it. Tell me about you just finished year 10.
Yeah.
Two Pro Bowls, like you said, kind of going through different, I don't know, what's the right word? Different situations, I guess, would be the best way to say it, in Washington.
Yeah.
Now you have another new regime coming in, and there's a lot of excitement in Washington for 2024.
Yeah, big time.
But when you think about where you are now and the fact that you were undrafted and just getting to the league was, I mean, the fact that you're 10 years on the same team, what comes to mind when you hear that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know really the story behind it. Came out of college, had a really big leg. I would either hammer it 60 yards or shank it 20 yards. There was like no in between.
Nothing.
And Coach Stoops tried to tell me, he's like, it's like my golf game. When I try and kill it, it's gone. But when I swing nice and easy, I hammer it. And it's like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. No, I was just trying to hammer it.
Not for you.
And so came right out of college, went to Chicago. I was there with a veteran, kind of what's common in the specialist world is called a camp leg. You bring a kid in who may have some potential. Let's see if he hits, but he's really here just so the veteran and can get going, and then we'll send him about his way with his trash bag. And and I got cut, and I got offered a really awesome job in Oklahoma City. I was engaged to my wife at the I was engaged at the time to my wife now.
Yeah.
And I took it, and I texted Kelly, my agent, and I said, "Hey, thank you so much for giving me a chance. I'm glad you believed in me, but I'm gonna take this job, and I'm just gonna hang him up. I wish I had done better, but that's it." So, but she said, before we do this, you're a left-footed punter, and what's really common is teams will bring in a left-footed punter off the street to punt to their returner that week going into them playing a lefty game because it spins different, it's a little funky for guys. And So I was like, okay. And there was a team that was wanting me to come out and be that lefty for the returners. Talked to my wife, talked to a mentor of mine who married us, talked to my parents. They were like, man, you know what? You guys are engaged. You're not married yet. You learned a lot. Give it one more go. Come back that next time. And things started clicking. There was a veteran kicker for the Chicago Bears for a long time, Robbie Gold, who then went to the San Francisco 49ers. I still talk to him to this day, and what he saw in me, how much time he vested in me, I have no idea why, but I am forever grateful for that because he just kept pushing me, encouraging me, and things started clicking. Then the Bears drafted a punter. Now, are you a fantasy football player?
Of course.
How many times have you drafted a punter?
Never.
Never. Yeah. So usually when you draft a punter, man, you're thinking that that guy's the guy. And to be fair, the dude they drafted had a cannon for a leg. Robbie took me out to dinner and he said, hey, they are going to cut you the first chance they get. You're here to build his confidence. You just got to mix it up. Just. And I found this way to, I don't know, mentally prepare, have this freedom, this edge, and ended up getting cut. And since you're a fantasy football guy, the waiver wire.
Yes,
I was a waiver wire claim.
Yeah.
Went to the Washington Redskins. The scout who was supposed to pick me up fell asleep because I got delayed due to a storm.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a true story. I was laying on the benches of Washington Dulles with my backpack, and I just sat there, and I was like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what hotel I'm at, whatever. Scout gives me a call like 3 a.m., takes me, says takes me to a hotel, says rookie shuttle leaves at 5:30. I took a two-hour nap. Met my special teams coach, Coach Ben Kotwika, who's in Denver now. He said, we got one other punter here. Final cuts are in 10 days. You punt better than the other guy, you get the job.
And wow.
10 days later. Do you know how you made the team in the NFL?
I've seen the Hard Knocks versions when they have who comes in. What's it called? The Rick or something like that?
We call him the Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
He comes in. He's like, bring your playbook, and coach wants to see you.
Correct.
Right?
So do you know how you know when you made the team?
I'm assuming it's when they don't tell you to come.
You just wait it out. Yeah. That's all you do. You
they don't
just
say,
sit there.
Congratulations, buddy. You
that's
made the
it.
Team.
They don't. You just sit there. And so, I just sat there in the hotel room. My wife texts me, they cut the other guy. This might be it. I'm like, there's a lot of ball left. Like, we could see what happens.
Yeah.
And to your point, I just finished year 10. And so I say that to say it doesn't matter the accolades, the games, the awards, whatever it was. I will never stop being grateful because I can still take you to me and Bree sitting in the truck, driving home, trash bag in the back of the truck from Chicago. I remember all of that. And
yeah.
So I'm very thankful.
I feel like, and there's some situations in the NFL or even professional sports where a guy gets drafted, comes into the league, does well.
Yeah.
10 years, couple Pro Bowls, maybe even gets a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he's kind of done.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, that's kind of what I expected. But there's a lot of Tress Way type of stories.
Big time.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
Like guys who go on, you were undrafted.
Yeah.
You get the call. You might try to make the team. You're going to try to make the team. And,
yeah.
And you might make it and you don't. And then you don't. And you get this opportunity and you're thinking, my pivot's going to be this way. And God says, just hang on a little bit longer.
No question.
And then boom.
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. And I think, obviously, I'm fortunate enough to have the people that I have had in my life, the people that God's put in my life to always just steer me back to that of, being able to look back and see God's providential hand working the whole time. The only problem is that you can only do that when you look back. So when you're all going just having those people around, I'm very passionate about that, very thankful for that, because whenever you do look back, you can ultimately see how everything was working.
I don't know if you like this comparison, but I'm going to say it anyways. I remember my wife and I went through about 4 years of infertility to try to have a child. And when we finally found out she was pregnant, my comparison is hearing you like you finally made the team. But then there comes all of this. There's 9 months to kind of go through and make sure the baby's going to be born. Okay, the baby's born. And then there's 18 years of raising this child. And it's like, what are we doing? I feel like you made the team. But then it's like you got to keep making the team.
That's it.
And you got to keep working hard and hope that you're the one that they keep bring him back.
That's right. And probably what you can attest to as well is, much like raising kids, whenever it comes from a place and like a foundation of just sheer gratitude that was very personal to your experience,
right,
That is a very powerful thing. Yeah. And so that's multiple areas of my life. And I have never regretted trying to have more gratitude.
No,
so,
yeah. That's a great way to put it. God, when he gives us those moments, you know, there's that song, all we can do is give him a hallelujah, you know, and just be grateful.
Yeah.
I was noticing in your career though, and I even said this to you before we started, I'm like, all right, 16, 16, 16, 17, 17, you played every game, you've never missed a game, and you corrected me. You're like, there's one.
Yeah,
what was
I
the
am
one?
Curious, what's the total number of games I've played? I have no idea.
162. If you played in this one game that you're about to talk about, it would be 163.
Oh, so years. 162 plus one is 163.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you.
Well, I mean, wait. My brain was so confused there that I had 162 plus one. So, yeah, man.
I thought you were going to give me some cool, like, you're beating the record of a guy if you had played in one more. And I was
no,
just, and then it
I
was just
think
it'd be 163. I was
the
like,
game
yeah,
that you
I,
missed was a story in itself, you said, right?
Yeah, so it was the year after the real, like, COVID season. So it was the 2021 season.
Yep.
And they still had the testing every day in effect. And shortly after that, it had switched to, hey, come get tested if you have symptoms. And
right.
But before that rule took place where you were testing every day, I got tested. I popped positive. They retested me twice that day. I kept coming back. I think it was 3 to 4 times each day. I kept coming back. But I kept getting positives.
Mm.
And I was asymptomatic. And I sat there on the couch with my dogs watching us play the Philadelphia Eagles at home at FedEx. So not only did I miss my first game, but I missed my first game at home.
Ugh.
And it was – but the everybody in the front office, like a bunch of the guys were awesome. They're like, Trez, that doesn't count. Like, no, that's got to – you still have to have the streak. But I think it'll count.
Let's make it count, man. I mean, we want to say that you've never missed a game in your NFL career.
Thank you.
And it sounds a lot better.
It does sound much better.
NFL Iron Man, you know?
I think whenever you say the word punter, people assume Iron Man. But, I mean, that's just – yeah, we could figure something out.
Although you told me this past year, even though you played in every game, you had to go through some injuries this year.
I took a couple shots. Yeah, I took a couple shots. And that was something – you know, I've always kind of been one of those guys whenever it's time. I pride myself on being a show-and-go guy. Okay. I don't like to overthink it. I like to, you know, get a little lather going, but I don't have this big routine and, you know, like all these different things like that. And I think that has officially changed. I took some shots this year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know, whenever I'm getting up and getting rolling and getting ready to start my set of some punts, I think it's time to grow up a little bit and have a real routine. So that's my mission for 2024 seasons. I'm gonna actually have a routine.
That's good. By the way, I wanted to ask you, as a punter, have you ever thrown a pass in a game?
I have. I'm 2 for 2.
2 for 2?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the all-time record for completion percentage.
That's right. I don't like to flaunt it that much, but my completion percentage is better. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Mahomes. I mean, you line them up. They mix in some incompletions. I just tend to not do that. I complete all my passes. But the only problem is I don't know what cover 2 or cover 3 is anymore. So just thank God we caught the defense by surprise, because I wouldn't have. There was one time my coach had said, he's just like, hey, Trez, your first read is going to be, I go, whoa.
What are you talking about, reads?
I was like, let's pick one guy and he's getting the ball. So that's just.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Well, we're talking to one of the all-time great passers here.
Thank you.
In Trez Way. You probably don't get that a lot when you're
doing
interviews.
I don't.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Tell me the favorite play. You said 2 passes. So there's probably been, I would say, dozens more times when you thought maybe you might throw a pass in the game. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You had it maybe even in the playbook, and it just wasn't the right situation,
definitely,
the right look, whatever. But the 2 that you did get to throw.
Yeah.
Tell the stories, because I got to imagine, you're not throwing a ball most likely in any game.
Yeah.
And then you get the call. I don't even know what the call would be. Maybe you remember it.
I do.
Okay. Well, what's the call that comes
headset? I think the funniest part about it is my wife, Bree, says that every time I go out to punt, she goes, this has nothing to do with me not being confident in you, but she's like, I just want you to do good, so I just get so nervous when you're out there. I was like,
that's a good wife.
Yeah. I was like, but you know, I'm not nervous. Like, I don't say that to be like, oh yeah, I'm not nervous out there. I go out there so excited to make, I'm trying to make a play.
Right.
And I've just been punting for so long that the only way I really am going to mess this up is if I start getting in my head or I'm thinking. So I just go out there and let's play. When the passes were called, little different story.
Yeah. It's like, okay, now you know the you got to go up to the stage and tell the whole class
the things what you take learned. For granted yeah. as a punter, like the snap actually coming back to you. I've never thought more about catching the ball. Right. You just catch and go, and now I'm like, oh my God, don't drop
it. And you're supposed to fake them out by making it think like it's just a regular punt.
Yeah. And so the shorter pass was against the Philadelphia Eagles called Colorado.
Okay.
Brought a guy in motion. We had been doing it with our punt team to kind of directional punt over there. Brought him in motion. He hit the brakes, went to the sideline. Bam. Put it on him.
Nailed him.
Kind of a loose spiral, but had some pace on it. First down, we got it. Okay. And then the one I will always remember just because the sheer suspense, it was called Puma. And it was at MetLife against the New York Giants.
Okay.
And it was the first fake that I ever ran. And I kind of like read coach's lips. I hear him say, Puma, Puma. And I grab our long snapper, who was a good buddy of mine, Nick. And I go, Nick, are we running it? And he grabs me and he goes, it's Puma. I just thought, oh, man, here
Puma,
it goes. And so Puma was a fade.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to catch the ball, take one step, and look down like I'm punting so that the guys didn't scream anything, whatever. And then I just stand up and launch it. And I have to say, it came out very beautifully. Nice tight spiral.
How many yards?
It was probably close to 30 yards.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
And I'm back 10 yards. So it was a 40-yard pass. I mean, I was feeling pretty good.
I would say
I played baseball growing up, so I was like, all right, let's spin it out there. And the funniest part is the guy we completed it to, Quentin Dunbar, was a defensive back for us. And the reason he was a defensive back was because he came in as a wide receiver who couldn't catch.
So you're throwing to the guy that can't catch.
And he makes a contested catch, goes down and does it. And the funny, like, and I don't do it as often, but, man, after that first play happened, I kid you not, buddy, I watched that video on YouTube. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck calling the game. I watched it nonstop. And Bree would be like, are you watching again? I'm like, hold on. They're doing it in slow-mo this time. Yeah, but it was
– yeah.
It is. It's a cool one. It's one of those things. I'm very thankful that's on YouTube. That'll be a good one.
What year was that?
That would be 2015.
2015. So only a couple years into your journey
yeah.
at that time
yeah.
in the NFL.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a fake punt that you ran?
I did.
And
Yikes.
Did you get the first down?
No.
It wasn't good?
That was not good. And I'm not an experienced runner. And okay. I think if I was to try and run now, I'd probably pop both hammies.
Yeah.
So I kind of stick to the throws.
Yeah.
But
understood.
I was supposed to trust our slot on the outside. He was supposed to fake, you know, like a normal punt and then last minute wrap him. And I was yeah. supposed to go around the outside. I'm not used to seeing those big scary dudes in opposing colors at me.
Yeah.
And I panicked and I went the wrong way because I thought he was unblocked, but it turns out that was part of the fake. Hey, I just didn't trust. That was early in my career, rookie year, had some trust issues with the guys, but
sure.
you know, now I know I can trust them all. So,
okay. Well, hopefully yeah. it's just passing and not running
That's
anymore
right.
for Tress Way of the Washington Commanders joining us here on Sports Spectrum. I do want to ask you about your faith, your walk with Christ. I know it's the most important thing in your life, but
yeah.
how has this journey helped you grow closer to God
yeah.
and keep you connected to the Lord? Having been now a professional athlete and a professional football player for 10 years.
Yeah, I remember whenever I was in college, I was really starting to speak publicly about my faith and just had this passion for speaking that I just really enjoyed. And I got really just kind of driven and excited to study the Gospels while I was speaking in college. And so I was reading through Matthew and I came across a verse, Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yeah.
And it just stuck with me where I just thought that I don't know if we're supposed to do this or it just happens with people of, you know, like, hey, your life's a verse. And I just knew that that's what I wanted my mentality to be, my approach to life to be, and just how that would just cover all areas of my life, like all spectrums of my life. And so I get into the NFL, and I'm just very fortunate to have the veterans I had with me, the coaches I had with me, my incredible wife, family. And I remember as my career started to take off, you know, like a few years in and got in the mix of a couple Pro Bowls and then made a Pro Bowl, I had this like sense of my hard work, like what the fruits of my hard work were like turning into.
Yeah.
And I just kind of let that little thought just sit in my head for a long time, to the point of fault where I was all of a sudden looking around going, man, look, like, look what I'm doing. Like, look, and I know that sounds funny, and that just looking back now, it's just idiotic, but like, you're in this high stress environment. You're in this position that, you know, rarely ever gets any notoriety, or like, you're lucky to get any accolades, and just things are starting to happen. And I'm very thankful. I'm excited. And then I just start to get very prideful. And right around that time, a couple of more seasons pile up where the career is really taking off. And I'm kind of solidifying myself as one of the quote unquote top guys of the NFC or the NFL.
Yeah.
And I just, for lack of a better term, I found my life. Like, I was like, all right, like, this is it. And I remember looking up one day, and I forget what it was. And I just sat there and I was like, my marriage is not what I want my marriage to be. My approach to friends and family is not, like, there was something unsettling about it. Yeah. How I approach the game of football, it was like, it was becoming so consuming, but I liked it, but I knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it was the way I would communicate with my wife, or like, I'd be upset with this or upset with that, the way I talked to my friends or family, and, you know, become self-centered, and how I was around the building. And it was so funny because I didn't ever stop necessarily like reading my Bible, but it was more of, I'm reading my Bible so that my Bible app streak can continue to grow.
Checking a box.
Yes. Yeah. And like, and I know it sounds so funny, but man, that's just, you look up and you just accidentally fall into those things. And I kid you not, I did another Bible plan, and I remember not wanting to do it, because I kind of knew, I'm like, I'm really comfortable right now, and I know I'm unsettled in these certain areas. And there was this Bible plan, and it had something to do with like, act like a man or something with a man, but it had to do with scripture. Hmm. And then one of the first devotions, I'm going through, and then it ends with Matthew 10:39. And yeah. Oh my gosh. I just sat there and I was like, whoops. Yeah. Like, yeah. And it was just this. And I think I say that on here to say God works in that way to make it that clear and that quick of just boom. Like, mm-hmm. This was something that was so fundamental and foundational for your life at a huge point in your life before anything else happened. And then, boom, and then right back to it. And so that is something through my career. I'll remember the verse the rest of my life, and especially now as my children can continue to get older, being married to my wife for longer, as football continues, what's next after football, friendships. When you invite the Lord into every major area of your life, and not only just invite him, but to just defer to him, to take a step back, let him step in. What kind of friend, and everybody handles it differently, but like, what kind of friend are you supposed to be? What kind of dad are you supposed to be? What kind of husband are you supposed to be? And he gives us, and that's what I love about being here, is they remind us of how uniquely gifted we are from the Lord. Not football. Football is a vehicle for us to do this. Sure. And for me to talk about what matters to me.
Right.
But it just hit me like a ton of bricks. That was probably the very beginning. It was right before we came to PAO last year.
So 2023.
Yeah.
It was early 2023.
Went through the seasons. Like, it was right at – so 2019, big season happened. There was the seasons of 2021, 22.
Yeah. And all really good years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, too, was that emptiness really started to – I don't know if this makes sense, but the emptiness started to grow. That may be like an oxymoron, but like –
No, I know what you mean, though.
The emptiness started to grow after I went to the Pro Bowl again. And I was just like, I don't feel full. And I truly believe that's why that verse speaks so loudly to me in Matthew 10:39, is whoever loses his life for my sake, whatever that means to you, however that looks to you, it makes sense to you, that's where you find it. And so that's kind of how that my faith particularly plays in the journey of my career.
It's so countercultural. It's so backwards to
backwards.
Everything we're taught as humans, but I have to imagine as an athlete, it's backwards to everything you're taught as an athlete, because it's all about achievement and all about approval and trying to do your best to earn a spot. Like, it's completely backwards.
It is completely backwards. And it is, and that's what's so special about having just this fellowship of believers, of that one major thing in common to keep you account, to remind you, to encourage you, to keep you accountable, to pray for you, is that everything else around you is going to be pulling the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And that is, I've just grown to love some of the scriptures talking about that, where, you know, the Lord will be speaking, and then especially for fellow believers, or, you know, like, and it's just making a point, and it's just a reminder of that you can't do it alone, but you're also just not supposed to, like, you're just not supposed to. So, mm-hmm.
Losing yourself, denying yourself, decreasing so that he increases. Like, amen. All of this is going backwards in the light of what the world would tell you, so that Christ can increase in our life. It's really interesting. There's also this one thing as we wind down here I needed to ask you about. We were talking about parenting outside before we started, and I asked you about your twin boys.
We have boy-girl twins and then another little girl.
And then another little girl, so three. But there's actually an addition possibly coming down the road here soon.
Yes, prayerfully, we have talked for a long time. We both knew that we've always wanted to adopt, and that what's really special about that is that I wanted to adopt before I ever knew who my wife was.
Wow.
Before I ever met Brianna Terang, I wanted to adopt. My childhood best friend was adopted, and I truly believe that this is just how the Lord works. And there was just something as a kid, like, we were on the same soccer and basketball team, and I just found it amazing. I don't know why. I was just like, it's just special. Like, and then obviously as I matured in my walk with Christ, of how we are viewed, and like, we are his because he says so, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we do. There's nothing we say. He says we're his.
And that's adoption.
Yes.
To the T,
and so that is now looking at, and Bree was the same way. Before she ever met me, before she ever had a husband, she always wanted to adopt. And so for us, it was never a sake of if we were going to, it was just a matter of when. And after the twins, we had prayed about it, talked about it. Then we had Hadley, our youngest. We were praying about it, talking about it, and then about a year, year and a half went by, and then, I mean, God bless my wife. She just brings me the paper. Everything that you have to do to jump through all the hoops, she's just like, hey, babe, would you just sign this? Yep. All right. Anything else? Yeah. Would you just do this? Yep. And so she's just that special of a mom. She's that special of a person. Mm. And I think that one day, you know, as our next child gets older, I can't wait to tell them those stories. Like, watching your mom work so hard just to get you before we even knew who you were. Yes. Like, I think that's a huge testament to who she is.
Well, it's why I believe in the power of prayer I'm praying currently for my daughter's future husband.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a boyfriend right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know who that is.
That's right.
But I'm praying for this person, that he loves God, that he loves her really well. And I don't know who this person is, but I can't wait someday, just like you're talking about, to tell her, this person, and my daughter. I think she knows
good
that I pray for this
man.
Person.
I love that.
You should do that too. And I'm not saying you should do this or that, but anybody who's a dad to a daughter, and even your son too, I would say, I tell people, man, start praying for their future spouses and all of the things that could come down the road, like, today. Don't worry about waiting until they're closer to getting married or whatever.
I completely agree.
Yeah, that's. I think my brother, I can't say I'm the one that invented this, but my brother Chris is the one who told me he's been praying for
his. You gave him props, that's fair.
Sure, yeah. I gave my brother props. He's the one that led me to the Lord. So
there you go.
He's a hero in my book. But he's the one that told me he's been praying for his kids. He has five kids, but he prayed for all of these older kids since they were babies for their spouses. And I thought, wow, what a mindset to have.
I know.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, so love that. So adoption down very soon here, hopefully. You guys are kind of in a spot where just kind of waiting on the Lord to see what he provides.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that we're most excited about, because there was a lot of things we're unclear about. I mean, this is uncharted waters for us. And so we were just, what does it look like? What, you know, we've been so fortunate, the people that we've had in our lives helping us and mentoring us. And what we have heard is that the most common way nowadays, which blows my mind in the technological world we live in now, but the most common way that private adoption ends up happening is through word of mouth. Whether it's friends and your community and your church.
Yeah.
And so it's such a fun part. Bree made these awesome kind of like cards with our family picture on it and then the announcement. Mm. And like we needed two things from friends and family. It was keep your ear to the ground and just pray. That's and like both are equally as important, because we need help in multiple ways, and it is going to be such a celebration. Like, and look, genuinely looking forward to it. We know it's going to happen, but the suspenseful part is we have no idea. So
there's a little bit of a testing, if you will, from God on our patience too, right? You're like, come on, Lord. Like, you know our hearts here,
but
at the same time, it'll be fun to see what the Lord does. Your wife played softball, right, at Oklahoma?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you asked.
The reason I asked this is because we did the feature on Sports Spectrum last year on Oklahoma softball, and they're like the most dominant sports team in the world right now.
Yes.
As we speak, we're taping this, and they're still winning a lot. Does your wife feel like she got slighted? Because she won a national title, right?
Oh, man, I'm so glad you're asking about this.
Because she's like right...
She is,
I bet
you've got to like meet her and chat with her a little bit. She is just so, I mean, she is so go with the flow. She is so laid back.
Right.
But I love calling it the big six. Okay. So in college, she played two sports. She played softball and soccer. All right.
Okay.
She was first team all conference. Oh, the two sports I did not. I did just football.
Yes.
She played two.
At Oklahoma.
Yes. She was first team all conference in softball. I never got first team all conference. She was an All-American. I never got an All-American. She was a national champion. Her senior year, they set off this run. Mm-hmm. They lost it in 2012 to Alabama. Don't ask her about that. But 2013, they beat Tennessee, set off this run. So won a national championship. I didn't get one of those.
Right.
She was drafted. Did you know there's professional fast pitch softball?
I do now, because I've paid a lot more attention to softball the last three, four years than I did many years ago.
Yeah, and so she gets drafted in the third round to the Akron Racers.
Nice.
I was an undrafted free agent.
Wow. And she isn't just one-upping you.
And I call it the big six. Number six, when she signed with the Akron Racers, she got a bigger signing bonus than I did with the Chicago Bears. And that sweet woman doesn't say – she could be like, oh, yeah, the Pro Bowls, that's cute. Hold on. Like,
she's just six-upping you, not just one-upping
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And so I love that, because she would never, ever say any of those things.
Right.
And it's just such a cool, fun fact, because, one, the person she is, and then those accolades are super cool. But it's just such a fun thing because – yeah, I get invites to do this and, you know, like being with Washington and doing all the fun stuff, but it's always a fun time to just say that stuff.
She's got six things on you. You got 10 years in the NFL. That's a little bit of an uptick on her, but that's okay. She's got the national championship. Hopefully you can get a Super Bowl over, right?
That'd be special.
That would be a lot of fun. Congratulations on an amazing career. I know you got more ahead of you.
Thank you,
just appreciate you coming on the show, buddy. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, man. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And many thanks to Tress Way for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He was awesome, full of stories and just a great guy, and cannot wish him nothing more than the best for his future, whether it's in the NFL or whether it's in adoption, like he talked about, or having more kids. Just really cool situation with Tress and his wife. And of course, his wife being the Oklahoma softball player that she is. I love Tress kind of bragging about her as well. That was pretty cool. So we appreciate him joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you as well for tuning into the show. As always, we really do appreciate when you invest your time with Sports Spectrum, and really the work that we do behind the scenes, investing to make this something that you want to invest with, is so important to us, because we want to see the gospel go forth. That's it. That's what Sports Spectrum's about. We love the sports angle. We really do. But we're just seeing sports as a way to share the gospel of Jesus. We hope you see that, and we hope you'll take advantage of our podcasts, our articles and devotionals that are at our website, sportsspectrum.com. Whatever it might be, use Sports Spectrum as a tool, as a resource to share the gospel with others. Our website, sportsspectrum.com. Of course, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, click that subscribe or that follow button so you can stay connected with all the episodes and conversations that we have here at Sports Spectrum throughout the year. And we're excited because very, very soon, a brand new Sports Spectrum app is on the way as well, where all of our content can be found right in our Sports Spectrum app. We appreciate you guys. We do. We love you guys. We hope you'll have a great rest of your day. Tune in next time for another conversation right here on Sports Spectrum.